Welcome to Ram Radio with Pastor John Coleman of Into the Word Ministries, the Biblical Alternative. Ram Radio stands for Reformation Apologetics Ministry. Ram Radio is a program for the Christian who is constantly learning and growing in the Word of God. The discussions during Ram Radio will challenge each listener to know what they believe and why they believe it. Sometimes the discussions will challenge your salvation. Stay with us and investigate the scriptures to know what is expected of the man or woman who claims Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Get your Bible ready. Here's Pastor John Coleman.
Thank you so much, Mark. Thank you for joining me on this September 11th, 2012. Well, we can't help but to look back. Yeah, because the skyline has forever changed in New York City. I'm on a particular website looking at the pictures of 9/11 that took place back there. And I was going to do a webcast, and let me share with you a little bit of what I was going to say, but now what I'm not going to say. And I think that you'll understand. We will forget it all in time. I know the building fell because of, you can fill in the blanks. Is enough enough when it comes to this horrendous disaster? It's like asking me to go all the way back to December 7th, 1941, before I was born. I was born some 3 years later in 1944. That had to be very real on the minds of a lot of people. I recall when I was in school, as a schoolboy in grade school, it was very fresh on our minds. But over the years, no one thinks about Pearl Harbor and the Japanese attack. We look at those old films of the Japanese fighters flying in on Hawaii and sinking the USS Arizona and other ships, and it seems to fade in the memory. And in the very same sense, 9/11 has a tendency to do that. But, well, the thing that grabbed me the most about 9/11 was the free jumping of people from the top floor, as well as from some of the windows in the World Trade Center. I went to that website, and sure enough, the free-falling man, that picture when he was upside down. Courage and faith is what brought a lot of those people to that conclusion. They had to know that their lives were very well over, to say the least, done. All that was important to them was hinged upon their standing there and deciding and then leaping. And I understood that many of them held hands and did that. My discussion will, and I'm trying to put it together because I want to think about, if I were there, what would my final thoughts be? I know that this is difficult for many of you, but as a Christian, as a believer in God and in all, and since this is the anniversary of that, I just like it, you know, just like to talk about it these many years afterwards. Because I'm still alive and still living in perilous times. And safety and comfort and happiness is not promised to me because I am John Coleman. Because I'm a believer in God. It is not promised to me. What would my thoughts be? To the families that are yet suffering because of this event, may the God of our world comfort your hearts. I am so aware that words will not. And then I would also say this, if listening is going to be difficult for some of you, well, pretend that 9/11 never happened. I'm sorry. It's edged in our minds. And it will always be edged in mine. And I have thoughts about it. And since I give commentary on it, I'm not going to make this commentary something sad. Those of you that want to erase 9/11 like you've erased Pearl Harbor, like you've erased Hitler's Germany and the killing of over 6 million innocent lives, stay in that zone that speaks of peace and comfort and happy times. But it's time for me to put my rant on. As I came to it, if I was standing there on the top and the soles of my feet were starting to melt because it's hot, the flames are burning, the steel is heating up. People are crying all around me, screaming, calling for their mama, calling on their God. And I had to decide whether I would burn to death up there or jump. What a decision to make. Now, as a believer in God, I'll tell you what I would have done. And I pray to God that I will have the know-it-all and the strength. And I hope that I can help some of you if we ever come to the unfortunate time in our lives when we have to make a decision to do something as courageous as those people did on 9/11. I understand that there's a DVD out that we can get where you can actually see the carnage. I don't want to see it. It had to be horrible. Many of the firefighters, policemen, and other city officials that were there on the ground level of those two towers saw those bodies falling and bursting and exploding. And the bloodletting that was there, that was most horrific. For the first time in the history of our country, the United States of America, that this kind of carnage had come to our shores since the revolution of the North and the South in 1776, fighting the British and other kinds of mayhems, hangings, and bloodletting that humans do. Now, I'm not going to get into who caused it and who did it. I don't believe the Warren Report? No, I don't believe that. That's ridiculous. Just totally ridiculous. This was a planned thing, but I'm not going to argue that. 9/11 is an historical event that took place. It has decimated literally hundreds and thousands of lives. I only knew one young man that died in that carnage. And I used to pick him up in my Dodge van when I was leaving Wilshire Police Station, where I worked. And I would give him a ride home. He attended LA High School and befriended me through my wife. And she would tell him, go to Wilshire Station and my husband will give you a ride home. I was mentoring young men all that time. I've always done that. Well, he was in the building. And I didn't discover that until they were reading off the names. And I knew that it was him. So, I would have been there, and I would have said, it's hot up here, and I would have said, I'm going home. I would have said, I'm going home to be with my Lord. I sung about it for years in the church. I'm going home to be with Jesus. I would have tried to call my family and tell them, but probably up there no signals are going down. It's too hot. And I would have told some people, I'm going home. If those of you know what I'm talking about, come on. And I know that the Holy Spirit would have engulfed my whole being. Listen to me. The Holy Spirit would have, like he's doing me now, the Holy Spirit would have filled me with this joy, with this comfort, with this peace. And it just would have been a split second to make that decision. I was talking with, I think I said it on last night's webcast. I was speaking with some students of mine and about decisions that we have to make. We were on chapter 2 of human nature, why we as humans make these decisions. And I was sharing with them that the Judeo-Christian ethic, which this country was run by, has always been a dominant factor in making decisions upon what a human being is. In terms of 9/11, a human being is still a human being, even when placed. God bless your hearts that lost loved ones. I love you. I love your loved ones. I'm so sorry for your loss, and I'm not speaking about them. I know this may be difficult, so you don't listen. Turn me off, because I'm just ranting on about what my personal belief and faith is, and I'm trying to give you an anchor to hold to something, because it is that belief system that can cause you in your worst moment to find peace and joy. There's a great story in Christian history. It came out of World War II, and it would do you well to read it. The testimony of one Corrie ten Boom. I believe she was a European lady who, her and her Christian family, were trying to remain alive and to hide some Jews, to keep the Jews alive. And Corrie ten Boom and her sister ended up in a prison camp by the Germans. I forget what country she was from. But in the story, she tells a story about after the war, she gets out of the war, and she's telling about some of her the difficulties that she and her sister went through, because her sister died in the concentration camp. And lo and behold, there in the audience was a soldier who was one of the guards who had to keep them enslaved. He was a German soldier. And this was after the war. And he comes up to Corrie and he says, I was one of the guards that was there when your sister died. And what was so beautiful is how Corrie said that she was able to, with the love of Christ in her, to love him. That story has always, always affected me, because that is one of the reasons why I embrace true biblical Christianity, not this fake Joel Osteen, Fred Price, Charles Blake, give me some money, grab it, coughing up tongues, speaking stupid. No, not that. Not that. Because that is just you being traumatized by religion. Rid me from traumatized religion. Joel Osteen, my God. Every week those people in Texas go to a psychobabble pep rally. That is not traditional Christianity. That is, well, that is not. But it is that faith in God, the faith in his sustaining power to not only keep us, but to sustain us in any situation. Often I think about it, that I'm driving in my car. I say, what if someone would run this light and hit me and trap me in the car and my car burst in flames. I'm just talking, you know, just thinking out loud. Because I live in the city. This happens all the time. And I'm not. Listen to Pastor John. I help you beautiful people. Listen to me. This idea that everything is going to be all right, that everything is beautiful. No. I like the way Jesus put it. He says it must rain on the just as well as the unjust. In other words, he's saying what comes upon them comes upon us. We are not exempt because we are people of God. We are not protected from calamity. Oh, I know what the word faith doctrine teaches you. No plague will come by your house. You let there be a plague hit this city. What makes you think it's not going to come by your house? What makes you so special? I want to see how you're going to operate when the plague hits. There's a movie that I've asked my students to watch, and some of them have watched it, Apocalypto, in my world religions class, where some people's world is literally turned upside down. Literally turned upside down. When their world is decimated. And it shows how these people had to survive. And what that survival was all about. We live in the modern era. And you know what? Every time I see my grandchildren, they have a new message device that they're dealing with. They look like they're tweetering and twickering and teetering and weetering and playing video games and everything. It's a new gadget. It's a new thing that their parents give them, that their friends give them. The whole world is caught up into that. And you know what? I'm trying to get you out of that zone of fun and games and fantasy. I want to bring you to the world of reality. And I know my world of reality has always been like this. It's not supposed to make you feel good. It's supposed to make you know that feelings don't mean a cotton-picking thing when you need to get into a frame of reference where you can come to God. And ask him to fill you with his presence in the midst of the madness of the world that you live in. The famous last words of Frank Sinatra. You know what they were? I'm losing. The famous last words of President John Fitzgerald Kennedy to his wife after the first bullet hit him. Oh my God, they shot me. Both of those statements are indicative of people feeling invincible, but then coming to the fact that you're not. None of us are. If I were in either of those cases, dying of something, I wouldn't say I'm losing. I would have said, what a wonderful, wonderful life this was. Every joyful experience that I've had, every ounce of pain that I've experienced, I can say that I glorify God on the behalf of that. I'm losing. Oh my God, they shot me. What do you think? Yeah, they shot you. Listen, allow God to become your anchor. Now, you know, I'm tempted to say allow Jesus, but I know that some of you don't want to believe in that ancient citizen of the world. But I'm going to tell you, I've allowed him to be my anchor because I can call upon him any minute of the day of my life. I can be on my way to work. Driving to the college, going 65, 70 miles an hour on the freeway, asking God to protect me because a car going that fast and other cars going that fast and one mistake, we're all done on the super turnpike of life. I need my Lord Jesus to watch over me, to care for me. I need him to forgive me of my sins. I really do. I haven't been a nice guy lately. I'm just speaking freely. I need him to watch over me. I need him to comfort me. I need him to be near me when I think that I need other people near me. I need him to calm me down on the inside. He's just not a figment of my imagination running away with me. I have to really believe that he's there. It doesn't take an extraordinary amount of faith. It takes a certain amount of tenacity to ask God to have mercy on my soul while I live in this world and ask him that my life may be an example to others as to how they might live in this world. I have a very unique situation because I'm flabbergasted in a sense, and it makes me feel somewhat happy, I guess, because I find myself in a situation where I have someone who is a believer who really likes taking my class. And they are in the class, and I'm amazed at how they can sit and listen to me for hours and upon hours on end. But now I understand why, because what they're doing is they're presenting questions to me, questions to the whole class, as a matter of fact, concerning their faith. And it offers me a grandioso opportunity to answer that, keeping in mind that this is secular philosophy, and to answer the question educationally and appropriately to give an explanation of our faith, of our belief. And in the process of me doing this, I am able to see the faces of other people who may be, and with all well intentions, never believe in what I believe in as a Christian. And I tell the students it's all right for them not to believe in that. It's wonderful. I have one student in one of my classes, which I share with you, asked me, how can I teach what I teach being a Christian man? And I had to explain to her, this is not a Christian school. This is a secular school. And so I am confronting this as a secularist would teach secular education. You see, if you went to a Christian school, they would expect you to give the Christian vantage point. What I give is the true vantage point from all standpoints of the philosopher. I don't give the philosopher's point of view and then put my fly on it because I'm a Christian. No, that would be inappropriate. That would be shortchanging the students. And here's a funny one. Why won't a Christian institution hire me to teach philosophy there? Because I'd open it up and let them know what's wrong with the institution that I'm teaching in. See? And I've discovered that Christians of all people do not want that to take place. They don't want that conversation to be held. They want to stay in that zone that everything is going to be all right. It's not going to be all right. It's going to end up very poorly if we do not take the reins. And oh, someone is cooking something delicious. Smell the smell that just came in the Lucy Coleman studio window. Oh, smells like some kind of an egg omelet or something, and it's just scrumptious. Can tell I haven't eaten breakfast yet. So, courage and faith will bring you to the conclusions in your life. And as courage and faith demonstrates to you how you are to respond in the world that you live in, keep in front of you, listen to me, keep in front of you that whatever situation you find yourself in, whether it be horrendous, whether it be not so horrendous, whether it's out of your hands or within your custody to have some kind of control, I am beckoning you to take the man Christ, Jesus, with you and let him walk with you through this maze of life. If you ever find yourself in a horrific situation like a 9/11 free jump, a free fall, you can do it with confidence and with boldness if you love God with all your heart, mind, and soul. And when you find there at the end, if you find yourself there at the end of your life, and that's what intrigues me about the courageous people that were placed in that situation where they had to jump. And I'm not talking about who caused the building to fall and all of that, because I'm telling you there is an afterlife punishment for people that put that scheme together and did that. There is going to be, listen to me, retribution in the worst way. I knew a lot of people were paid off. A lot of people got money. A lot of people. There will be a retribution for these human beings that you would never believe in the afterlife, and to some in this life. Because that's the way God always does it. Every child, every wife, every husband, every son, every daughter, every uncle, every aunt, every grandparent, every nationality, every person that died in that carnage, there will be vindication and retribution on their behalf of the people or peoples that caused this. I will never forget 9/11. I will never forget the days that I was glued to my television set. The horrific events of that event is etched in my mind for life. But come in contact with how you would shovel off this mortal coil if you were finding yourself in that situation. That's my thought today, the webcast for today, just something to give you something to think about. All right, I got a luncheon engagement today. I got to go there, and I don't know whether I'm buying or she's buying, so I got to shave my head and get ready to go out. God bless you. It is good to see that many of you are still coming to my website. It really blesses my heart. God bless you, and whatever you do, stay in the Word.